Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, with everything you need to know about the new MLB pipeline, top 30 prospect rankings for the Colorado Rockies, and where the Rockies, as an organization, as a farm system, where do their minor leaguers rank in the top 30? Where are they in Major League Baseball compared to all of the other clubs? I will let you know about that. And I will let you know that I'm not good at celebrating things or celebrating myself, least of all. I'll celebrate anything. I'll find a reason to get hyped for somebody. I have Freudenfreude, which is you're happy over people's happiness. So I like that. I do like that. But when it comes to celebrating myself, not so much. So I'll just say this. I'll just mention this, that last week did have the one-year anniversary of launching the Rockies Insider Network. So everyone who has been here for this last year, even if you've only been around the last 9 months or 6 months or three, or you're brand new finding this podcast, thank you so much. Throw me a subscribe if you aren't already. Leave a review wherever you might listen to this on Spotify or Apple. That can be huge. That being said, only a couple days ago, not last week, but only a couple days ago, hit 300 episodes. So 300 in a year, that is essentially 6 episodes a week. And it's that 6th one. You'd think the 6th one would be the one that kills me, but no, it's all of them collectively. If I'm going to do one, I might as well do 6 so I can give you something on Saturdays, because you need it on Saturdays as well. Can't just have 5 days of the week. So Sunday is the day. Maybe that's when you get caught up on all the podcasts, but appreciate you listening in to this one. And if you didn't already know, there is a Rockies Insider channel over on YouTube as well. So MLB Pipeline, where do the Rockies rank? I will let you know what that number is once we go through all of the new names, because there's been 9 new names added to the Rockies top 30 list if you had checked in mid-July. So before the trade deadline, before the draft, we've got 9 new players on the top 30, which doesn't necessarily mean 9 have been moved off, because some have also graduated. That's another part of this. And I think, come to think of it, I think Chase Dolander is the only one that's actually graduated and lost that prospect status. I think maybe Tanner Gordon is no longer having prospect status, Bradley Blaylock as well. So sometimes guys will graduate off that list. They're still a rookie, but they're not considered prospects anymore because they've gone past that rookie eligibility. So you've got 9 new names, 6 of which are draft picks, 3 from the trade deadline. You know that the Rockies acquired 5 prospects at the trade deadline. 1 was a body, and 4 of them were ranked early on, 2 really far back. Now we're already down to 3. So the trade deadline dudes, you had lefty Griffin Herring, who came over in the Ryan McMahon trade, was the, and still is, the highest left-handed starting pitcher in the system. He came in at number 5, dropped all the way down to number 9 after the draftees came onto the list. Second baseman Rock Riggio went from number 10 when he was first acquired. He is now 13. And then righty Josh Gross was 18 at first. Now he is 24. So the 2025 draft class, 6 new names on the top 30. That's more than I can remember in a while. I want to say 5 is a good draft. A lot of seasons, it does feel like 4. Then again, you know, once you start to get into the 20s, even mid-20s, those guys need to show a little something, right? Because the future's still unknown about them. They maybe were a 3rd or 4th round pick. But when I see six new names on the top 30 from the draft, it means a few things to me. One, it means a lot of the top 30 prospects from the start of the season just, you know, maybe haven't played well. As I said, you know, despite the fact that there's been only those 12 debuts this season, 12 major league debuts, only Dolander, as far as the debuting players that have graduated on. So what this means is this might just be a bad system. And it's been in the past, and that's really where it was at the start of this year. It's a bad system that just looks better with a few new names sprinkled in. But will these new prospects suffer the same fate as the last group? I don't know. Will it suffer the same fate as the last six, maybe even more than that, top 30 prospect classes? Because we had a stretch where Brendan Rodgers was still the top Rockies prospect for about 5 years. Maybe there was even a sixth year where he somehow was left on lists. People forgot to take him off. And then he never really came to fruition. So he stayed the number one. But as your number one, as your top prospect with the highest ceiling, to get that out of Brendan Rodgers, even putting aside being the third overall pick, that can be disappointing. That can also give you an idea of where your farm system is. If that is the best player that you're going to produce, an everyday second baseman, nothing more, nothing less. Again, you're going to have a good season. You're going to have a good half season here and there, but overall, a league average second baseman, that's one of the reasons why we are in the midst of the seventh consecutive losing season and now the third consecutive 100 loss campaign. That's just kind of how it goes. So, you know, until the front office is changed, shaken up, shuffled, it just becomes hard to see how things will change that much. Will this crop of draft picks be different than the last 6+ years? Now, there's going to be exceptions. Like on an individual player basis, of course there's going to be exceptions. Players find a way to do things in spite of the issues of their franchise all the time. You can do it at the major league level, you can do it at the minor league level. It doesn't really matter. And so the Rockies are having those issues in both the major league and minor league level, but some guys can persevere through that. I mean, look at Hunter Goodman as a great example for that. As a guy who was not really rated very highly by a lot of prospect pundits. I'm not going to say he slipped through the crack, but there were some concerns about, you know, positionality because he didn't really have one and he hasn't had one until this season. But this was a guy who was a fourth round pick. And it wasn't until he really started to show he had that 30 home run power down in the minors that he became a top 10 prospect in the system. Now he's an all-star. And I said, wow, he actually was, you know, much better than some of the prognostications on him. So there are guys that can work through the issues that this farm system and this organization has had over the last 5 years, more than 5 years. But Hunter Goodman is an exception to that rule. There's a lot of other guys that do fall in line with those same kind of disappointments. The state of the minors won't change until the front office changes. That's just kind of how it's going to go. And even then, it could be a few years before those changes really begin to take shape. So it's kind of sad for the diehard fans out there who kind of live and die with the Rockies and who want to believe that the Rockies ownership and the top brass has been feeding them, you know, a lot of bull over the past 7 seasons. It's hard to see that. It's hard to come to that realization that, you know, maybe you should have had a little bit more doubt. It's not fun having that doubt. And I mean, I don't think people have doubts about the Rockies. They know how bad they are right now. So doubt is just not the right word. You got to cling to something really positive. But if you're clinging to the words of the people that steered the Titanic into the iceberg, you're going to have a hard time having confidence in that captain. And so the course needs to be changed. So where is Ethan Holliday on the top 30 list? You should already know by now, but we're going to go in reverse. Number 30, first baseman Tanner Thatch, who is hands down right now the sleeper from the class of 2025 for the Rockies, 6'4". Dude's got a big frame, 225. Went to UNC Wilmington, career leader in homers with 54. He turned down the Giants a couple years ago in 2022, coming out of high school, where he was taken in the 18th round. Ends up going late in the 8th round, and he's a top 30 prospect right now. He's also the great nephew of Hall of Famer Catfish Hunter. Certainly should be noted. And so that power potential, you know, maybe he can become sort of a poor man's Hunter Goodman. Now, he's a first baseman. That becomes problematic because many of the best big league first basemen, the most successful first basemen, end at first base. They don't start. There's not very many players like Nick Kurtz, who was a first baseman in college and then is a first baseman in the majors. That, again, is an exception to a rule. So that's going to be hard for him. If he is going to really carve out a niche for himself, you say, well, what about Michael Tolia? He played a little outfield as well, but okay, that is a good example. And, you know, did put together one solid season. Still don't know what Michael Tolia is going to become. He may have already shown us what he is going to be. But for the Rockies, he has been what he is. So we'll see about Tanner Thatch going forward. Can he play another position? I don't know. We'll see. But at number 22, you had the righty Riley Kelly. Number 20, third baseman out of USC, Ethan Hedges. Then into the top 10, three new Rockies in the top 10. It's number 7, Max Bellew, who I was wrong. I had Bellew ahead of JB Middleton. Middleton in at number 6. Both of those players, according to MLB Pipeline, projected to reach the majors by 2028. So next year's 2026, first full season down in the minors for those two guys. 2027, 2028 feels about right. Maybe you work a little bit quicker. I think Bellew and Middleton do both have that pedigree where you might be able to make it up by the end of your second full season, so by the end of 2027. But a lot of that, again, is going to have to do with the Rockies' big league roster. And are they going to have space for a guy like that? Are they going to say, man, we just have an open position. We're that bad again, and we've got an open position. So can that happen? Yeah. But typically, with a team that, you know, even is struggling, but has a lot of really quality pieces, it's going to be hard to find a spot for a guy like that. So, hey, those guys can go out and prove a lot of people wrong. But number one, number 17, he's number 17 on the top 100 list, is shortstop Ethan Holliday. His grades from MLB Pipeline, a 50 hit tool, 65 power. You like that? The run, 50. The arm, 55. Fielding, 50. Overall, 60. His ETA listed as 2029. Is that really that far off, 2029? That would be three full seasons in the minors, and as well as the parts of this year that he's already been playing with Fresno. So in a way, that does feel like it could be a bit long, even if Holliday had two full seasons the next 2 years in 26 and 27, that would mean in 2028, he could debut as a 21-year-old, and that feels about right. It feels like 2028 might be better. And, you know, that's a question that whenever, you know, I've bumped into Jonathan Mayo or Jim Callis, and the conversations we've had is if they err on the side of not being too aggressive with their projections for their ETAs. Like if you say Ethan Holliday, 2028, well, okay, not a ton of high school guys come up that early. And so all of a sudden, if he debuts in 2029, is that like kind of a knock on him? Like, could he still be a great player if he debuts at 22? As after being the fourth overall pick coming out of high school, like he could still be that guy. So, you know what? We'll err on the side of saying maybe it'll take him a little bit longer in 2029. And then it makes more sense to say, you know what? He's projecting really quickly. Let's move that timeline up. Because if he's producing well, and you say 2028, you go, well, if he's spending an entire year at each level, it's going to take you until 2029. Now you got to move it back. And that's really, you're penalizing the player in a sense, despite him going out and playing his best and being productive at a new level each year. It would be on the team for not giving them, giving that player that opportunity to move up multiple levels in a season, which is something that Colorado has been doing more and more. And so that's another reason why I don't think 2029 is going to be his arrival year. 2028 is what I'm looking at. And could it be 2027? It could, but I'll take 2028. From the write-up, I thought this was interesting over on MLB Pipeline. They said, quote, Gatorade's Oklahoma Player of the Year. Holiday may have the most usable left-handed power from his draft class, and he generates it with little effort. Still adding to his 6'4" frame, he already has plenty of strength and an easy left-handed swing with plenty of bat speed and leverage. He tried to do too much when he got pitched around on the circuit last summer, leading to some swing and miss concerns, but he should develop into at least an average hitter with 35 homer pop and plenty of walks, end quote. By all accounts, from everyone I've talked to, from folks that I haven't talked to, but I've read their takes on it, respectable top names in the industry. There's a lot of places you could find a lot of information, but are those reliable sources? That's where you can cut or read in between the lines and kind of cut some of the fat and say, hey, I've read a lot of different articles, but really the two people that are the most knowledgeable say this. That opinion should be taken with a lot more assurance than 10 people that you've never heard of and maybe don't even have a picture next to their name for a website you've never heard of. Who knows? Who knows if it's an AI article or what? But trust the names that you know. Trust those names most. And to get to my point, third base might be the true position for Ethan Holiday. Ethan's going to get all the opportunity in the world to stick at shortstop. He is. And it might even be the next 2 years. It really could be the next 2 years that he is still playing short. And then if and when the time comes, he may move over to third base. And you're saying, well, what about Kyle Karros? He's been playing great. What about Kyle Karros? We have no idea what Kyle Karros is going to be for 2 years from now. We have no idea what Ryan Ritter is going to be in 2 years from now, or Adiel Amador, or Sterling Thompson, or anybody else you want to throw in on that list. You cannot worry about two really good players that are at the same position since they are currently four levels apart. You could throw Ezekiel Tovar in on that list. Does Tovar, I don't know why, but could Tovar need to move over to third base? Maybe Tovar is going over to second, and then Holiday can stay at short. Again, Tovar is the incumbent. He is the Gold Glove Award winner, so that seems very unlikely, but we've seen moves like that before. If Holiday over to second base could become a little too difficult because of his larger frame, maybe. Karros is even bigger than Holiday, so I don't see Karros over at second base. Maybe Karros is at first base. But what about Charlie Condon? I don't know. Nobody knows. So don't worry about it right now. So when we say Holiday might be a better fit for third base, a lot can happen between now and when he does or doesn't come up as a big league third baseman. So where did MLB Pipeline rank the Rockies? Not good. Number 24. Depressing. Kind of depressing, really. You know, because the front office has just continued to pump up these prospects as being the next biggest thing. And if you ask around, if you look around, if you read the right articles, you know, they were the only ones saying that the future was going to be that bright. And unfortunately, you look at what they said in 2020 and 2021, 2022, about the future being a few years away. And we are now in that future, and it's not even close to being brighter. So it's unfortunate that, you know, some folks were sold a bad bill of goods, because this is a farm system. While I did like its depth, I thought there was still a lot of good talent. It really lacked great talent. Charlie Condon was the one name that you said, this guy has got to be a superstar for the Rockies to be able to be turned around as an organization. And that hasn't happened for him just yet. But of course, again, the wrist injury was everything slowing down his start to the season, and he's been playing really well at AA Hartford. So we still don't know about that. And Condon, still a top 100 prospect according to MLB Pipeline. I believe it's number 60 right now. So that's good. That's still good. But you need to have superstars in your midst in order to be considered a high-ranking farm system. Every organization has their guys that people like or that are good organizational guys or players that could be great number four outfielders or platoon infielders. Every system has those guys. You can get those guys on the waiver wire all the time. You could sign those guys to minor league deals and they can get a spot on your opening day roster. They are plentiful, but the superstars are the ones that you can't just grab off a tree. You can't. You can't just find superstars. You can certainly pay them $182 million, but you're not guaranteed that they're going to produce like a superstar. And for anyone who thinks that this couldn't possibly, right, that the Rockies couldn't possibly be number 24, let's go back to 2020. The Rockies were ranked 28th in baseball by MLB Pipeline. What did that list look like? Let's take a look. 1 through 5 was Zach Veen, Ryan Rolison, Michael Tolia, Ryan Vallade, Aaron Shunk. Is there an all-star in there? Is there an everyday player in there? Right now, there's not. You've had one full season or one season of performance out of one of those players. That's it. Those are your five best. The next six through 10, Breton Doyle, Helchris Oliveras, Chris McMahon, Elijah Montero, and Drew Romo. Breton Doyle, you go, hey, there was something there. And he's starting to turn it around just a little bit. He's starting to turn around. This has been a really unfortunate season for Breton Doyle. And he'll be first to raise his hand and be first in line for, I can't wait for 2026 to start and get a proper reset. And I think he would benefit from that. But even still, we're talking about a player that is not quite yet on the all-star level. We saw a little bit. For all intents and purposes, you can say Breton Doyle, Michael Tolia are two sides of the same coin. Put together one solid season, and maybe it really wasn't even a solid season. When you dig into the numbers, it was more like a 4 to 5 month season. But still, that's your top 10. You haven't gotten a lot out of it. So don't you think 28th in baseball was fair for that crop of prospects? Now, you did have Tovar down on the list that season in 2020 at rank number 21 and Feltner at 24. But, you know, the 2025 list is going to have some guys like that too. That down in the 20s, hey, this guy ended up being something. Tovar certainly is something, but we're waiting for that all-star level. We're waiting for that all-star caliber talent to shine. It's going to have to wait until 2026. And if you're curious, well, who was like the number 8 farm system back then? And I'll be fair instead of saying who was the number 1, but who was the number 8 farm system back in 2020? It was the Baltimore Orioles. And we know how well that has worked out for them. Aside from how poorly they played this year, and they also did sell at the trade deadline. But if you're looking at the quality of player, you've got Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, Ryan Mountcastle, Jordan Westbrook, and DL Hall, who was flipped for Corbin Burns, an all-star. That also got Baltimore a compensation pick. So these lists are not just on a whim. They have purpose and they have value. And these are people that understand what's going on in the industry. They might not know what's going on with every individual player. That is an impossibility. So they are going to miss from time to time on players. But overall, when it comes to large picture things, 10,000 foot views, they are almost always right. Tell me where they've been wrong on the Rockies as an organization. Please tell me. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. Was this a sad one? This, I felt like this could have been on the negative side, but I don't know how else to, there's no way to spin this as being positive. So I just have to be truthful that it sucks right now and it's continuing to suck and it's hard to see out of that suck. That's about it. It's hard to see out of that suck. It's a new segment from Patrick D. Lyons. You also got Rocky's Insider over on YouTube as well. Thanks for dropping by. Saturday, well, that's tomorrow. Am I going to do number six? I mean, I've been doing it. And I'm looking ahead at my schedule and I'm going, I don't know that I can fit that in. And I hope I find a way. I hope I do find a way. But if I hand you my get out of jail free card for one Saturday, I hope you can forgive me. I hope you still stick around. I hope you continue to give me momentum, even though that momentum is only as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you then.